Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. 94% of coronavirus deaths were with those who had multiple underlying conditions. Doc, did you know that?
I did, actually. And seeing the people that came in sick, when we had been talking about it in the past, it was those people with the chronic comorbid conditions, you know, the diabetes, the peripheral vascular disease, and things like that, that were the highest risk. And, you know, if you're a healthy person, for the most part, you don't have much to worry about, even if you get coronavirus. But, yeah, most of the deaths, I think we had a little over 4,400 deaths right now in Connecticut. And the majority of those people did have chronic medical conditions and kind of complicating medical illness that made the coronavirus worse for them.
The one person I know who died from it had another deal going on. And when I read through the story, they say there were 2.6 additional conditions or causes per death.
Huh.
So multiple conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. A lot of these people, you know, these people can have heart disease, they can have, you know, cancer, they can have peripheral vascular disease, diabetes. So then when they get any kind of virus, the chances of their death is exponentially higher than someone who's healthy that can better fight the disease. I think right now there's around 52 people hospitalized in Connecticut, which is really not bad compared to, I mean, I had probably that many in just in my hospital in the past. So, you know, that's reassuring that we're doing well right now in Connecticut, but I do still feel, Chaz, that, you know, people still need to be careful and not let their guard down.
Yeah, don't blow it.
The last week or two, I got to be honest with you and your listeners that there has been a little uptick that we've noticed. And so we'll see where that goes from here. I can tell you that a lot of the people that I've taken care of lately that doesn't make me feel good are those that come in asymptomatic for COVID, and I admit them for another condition. Like, for example, I admitted an abscess recently. Person had no symptoms of COVID. The next morning I get a text from one of my surgeons that, hey, that person you admitted to us last night is positive for COVID, and the person had no symptoms at all.
Huh.
So it is still floating around Connecticut, and I think that people need to be, you know, cognizant of that, and, you know, keep in their little pod of people that they live with and associate with, and, you know, do all the things that we already talked about, you know, hand washing and limiting contact with others and keeping people socially distanced. My kids go back to school today, so, you know,
I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
I mean, parents are a little freaked out, not only about the schedule, but now we have the little Petri dishes running around all over
the
place.
Little sentries, yes.
What are you doing as a doctor for your kids to keep them as safe as possible?
So my kids, my two older ones are in high school, so they're doing a hybrid model with 2 days on, 2 days off learning right now. And I'm telling you that my kids are both going back to school today, physically in school, telling them to wear their mask, to wash their hands, to use Purell, to limit contact with other kids as far as getting real close. Like, you used to, you know, give people hugs when the first day of school. I mean, I'm sad to tell my parents, my kids that, to you know, as a parent, I'm
that's a tough one.
Sad to say, you know, these kids go back to school and haven't seen a lot of their friends for the whole summer just due to the isolation. And, that, you know, don't give people hugs. Don't give people kisses. Don't get real close and touchy-feely with people like you usually do.
So then when they come home, do you dip them in a vat of hand sanitizer?
No, they go through a spray as they go through the door.
I'm going to make sure that they at least wash their hands when they come home and keep that mask on all the time at school.
Dr. Ron Clark is on. As you listen to the school plans, desks apart and keeping them in class and the cohorting and the this and the that,
yep.
What do you think of it as a doctor?
I do think the school districts are doing everything that they can do to make it as safe as possible for kids to go back to school safely. And I do think that a lot of the things that are out there, you know, I'm confident that the, you know, school superintendents and the people who make the decisions for different school regions and districts are doing the right thing right now. And these are things that we didn't do in the past, you know, when this all started and Connecticut got themselves into a really bad spot. I mean, you guys can probably tell I'm in a much better mood now than I was those days in, you know, March and April.
I've known you for years,
right.
And the tone of your voice was like you were on that space station that collapsed and you were the last one recording the final message.
That's what it felt like. I mean, that's what it felt like, especially because I was doing that every day. Like, it's just every day the same exact thing. Just, it was really a miserable time.
All right, so kids are going back to school.
Yep.
Universities, kids are coming in from all over. flu season. How is the emergency room preparing for this?
The same as we always do with every flu season, make sure that we have the right supplies, the right staff, the right ability to take care of people. We'll be definitely getting a double whammy this year with the flu and the COVID. I just don't know how bad things are going to be yet. We've had good flu seasons and bad flu seasons, so now probably we're going to have good COVID seasons and bad COVID seasons.
Wow.
COVID's here now, so unfortunately it's going to be here
really?
For a long time.
So you're saying, so like the flu, we can have a flu shot, so we'll have a COVID shot, but then next year we'll need to do it again because it'll be a different strain?
Potentially, yes. With viruses, and again, every year, most people get their flu shot. The healthcare providers get it early in the season, and most people do get their viral infection, immunization. Ooh. And I think that a key is going to be this COVID vaccine when it comes out, which I'm hopeful will be here by December. That may be a little bit optimistic.
Wow, AJ. You're just going to be using hand sanitizer for the rest of your life.
You know why I like it, though? I like the smell of it. It feels good. It makes me feel happy.
You know, it seems like, Doc, we've managed it to a point where it's not as deadly. So, like, when it walks through the door at the ER, we're like, okay, this is what it is. This is what we do.
Yes. Protocol.
Because at first it was just you got it and you could die if you have multiple, issues.
Yeah.
Exactly. I feel like people have a better handle of it for the most part. And again, just like you said at the beginning of the segment, most of the people that are dying of COVID disease have chronic comorbid conditions, other things going on that complicate the illness, and that the majority of people who are healthy are, even if they get COVID. And again, that guy I was just telling you about with the abscess that got admitted, he had no idea he had COVID. We do, for our patients that get admitted to our hospital, and I believe most hospitals in Connecticut, if you're admitted, you automatically get a COVID test. No matter, you could be there for an ankle fracture or anything else, you're going to get a COVID screen right there. And there's different ways that we can do it. There's, if you're having surgery, we do what's called a rapid COVID test, so it comes back in a couple hours.
Oh, yeah. I went for a colonoscopy the week before I went on vacation, and they made me take the test before I went in. So.
Yep, which is good. I think that's a good thing that we are screening all these people because, again, then like this guy would have been upstairs potentially with other people that had other diseases, and he could just spread it to everybody up on the floor. So luckily they identified him quickly and isolated him once it got found out that he had COVID.
Dr. Ron Clark is on, and talking about colonoscopies, Chadwick Boseman, 43 years old, dies of colon cancer. And now when they look at the numbers, it's a leading cause of cancer-related deaths, 30% of this under 55 years old. How does this go from an older guy thing to younger people?
Yeah, it is a young person's disease as well. And most people, as soon as they get into their 40s and 50s should be screened for it. Because, again, a lot of times when you pick it up, people, particularly guys, they come into the ER with, just rectal bleeding. And then at that point in time, a lot of times it's too late because, it's already grown. And again, with most cancers, the thing you don't want is the metastasis, the spread to other places.
Go for the colonoscopy. It seems like literally a pain in the ass,
but it is.
But it'll save your life.
It's a breath saver.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Ron Clark, MD, Associate Chief of Emergency Medicine, the Hospital of Central Connecticut, New Britain General Campus. Also an author. Look him up. Awesome books.
Yes.
One could save your kid's life,
exactly.
Surviving the Emergency Room, How to Be Prepared When You Get There. Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Mayor Boughton is having a messy fight with a talk show host.
But today, I'm proud to announce our fourth point of interest. Behind me, you'll see the City of Danbury Sewer Plant. And we are going to rename it the John Oliver Memorial Sewer Plant. Why? Because it's full of just like you, John. And oh, by the way, thanks for showing that Amazon video. We did get Amazon here in Danbury.
Mayor Boughton's on the phone now. How did this all start and what is going on?
I have no idea. He somehow weaved this into a long rambling dissertation on jury selection in Connecticut. And actually, as you know, cities and towns have nothing to do with jury selection and had nothing to do with even the Danbury state court system. So I don't understand how he came up with us, but he did and made some negative comments about the city. And so it's unlike Donkey Kong.
Gotcha. So he called you out first.
He did, yeah. Nobody can figure out what's the connection. But now that we're there, he has very generously agreed to donate $55,000 if I do, in fact, to various charities, if I do, in fact, name the sewer plant after him. And so, you know, we're going to have our answer on Thursday, and we're getting ready to produce another. We're going to drop another video along with our new mixtape, and away we go.
Like it's hot.
Yeah. So do you have to have a meeting to, you know, you got to pull people together, have a vote to rename the sewage plant?
Well, there is a process. That's right. There's a process to do that. Probably would entail some kind of vote. We typically in Danbury don't name buildings after people because it always ends up in some kind of fight. But we may make an exception in this case. And I got a couple thoughts about how to do that if we decide to do that. We're still mulling over our response to him. He says if he doesn't give us the money, our charities the money, then he's going to go to Waterbury or maybe Milford or even possibly Torrington. So, you know, we got to take that cabbage when it's on the table.
That's right.
Yep.
Have you talked to him? Have you reached out? Has he asked you to come on the show?
Well, our staff has talked to his staff, and our people have talked to his people. We fax each other. No, haven't talked to him at all. He hasn't really asked to come on the show, but he did love my idea. So he did a little piece of monologue about it on Sunday night. So happily would, obviously, but it's interesting. It's just, you know, like why he would sort of fixate on Danbury. It's just strange.
I think the biggest thing for me coming out of this story is I learned that John Oliver still has a show.
Right. I forgot about him.
Right. I remember when there was an announcement for a show, but that's the last time I heard of him.
Surprise.
Yeah. Isn't he retired now? This is his retirement. It's once a week.
I couldn't tell you.
Right.
Okay. I'm not, you know, I don't get him, but I get it.
Well, nice job responding to someone being a, you know, a bully to your town. Let's shift gears here. Back to school. How's that going?
You know, it's going good. We're going to do distance learning to start. We had a little bit and still continue to have an uptick in COVID cases here. So we're going to do distance learning, reevaluate about 2 weeks in September. And then, by the way, today is September already. Can you believe it? So in a couple of weeks, we're going to reevaluate and then try to move to hybrid. So we want to get the kids in the buildings, obviously, and, you know, get out there playing sports and all that stuff.
Speaking of sports, what's your deal with sports?
Well, right now, I mean, we had to close our leagues, both adult and youth leagues. And, of course, people have absolutely lost their minds. And we had to close our boat ramp out on Candlewood Lake, and they've lost their minds about that. But
why the boat ramp?
What happens is people they put their boats in the water, and then they drive out to these islands, and they have these pretty big parties with a couple hundred people there with no, and there's no environmental officers there. It's impossible to manage. No social distancing, nothing. So, you know, we needed to shut that down because we traced some of the infections out.
They could still get to that by boat launching from another area or only in Danbury?
Yeah, there's only two state boat launches in Candlewood Lake, and then there's a couple of municipal ones, but we're the only municipality that allows out-of-town people to use our ramp. I mean, they pay for it, but we allow them to do that.
I got it.
So it was a kayak party. You're screwed.
Man, you got you have probably teachers coming after you a little bit, and then you got parents coming after you over sports. You got boaters coming after you, and you got John Oliver coming after you.
And still smiling.
It's like one of those cage matches where everyone's coming in the ring, hitting him with chairs,
exactly.
Throwing poop at him.
Right.
A bag of hitting him in the head with a bag of money.
Trying to run down with a boat.
Yeah.
You know, and you put it on the overlay of the fact that everybody is so amped up right now between the election and COVID and, you know, all of the horrors of some of these shootings and things like that. And people, it's been a crazy time to be mayor. There's no question about it.
All right. One more thing before we let you go, Mayor Boughton of
Danbury. I'm boring you, aren't I? Am I boring?
No, not at all. No,
not at all. Not
you
at all.
You guys want a piece of me or what? You still want to
go? Yeah.
All right. Okay, go
ahead. Wait, AJ, would you wrestle the mayor for charity?
I did it for free. Why not? No, just kidding.
I was a wrestler in high school, so watch out.
Really? I wrestle my thoughts all the time.
Were you really?
Yes.
Well,
this could be fun to watch.
I feel like you'd be the least frightening wrestler.
Yeah, well, I was pretty good. So
if I saw you in the other corner, I'd be like, this will be easy. I'll knock his glasses off.
No. I was not a guppy. No.
This is pre-glasses.
He's crawling around the ring looking for his glasses.
My spectacles. Well,
I wrestled 134, so.
Do you still have your wrestling singlet?
I do, and my varsity jacket, which is in a shadow box.
We'll pay $55,000 for a picture of you in your wrestling tights. Not an old one.
No.
Now you got to get into
currently,
one now.
Currently, yeah.
I want to see that 5 pounds of bologna in a 1 pound bag.
It's still like a plastic bag with a bunch of fruit sticking out of it.
Mark Bologna Bouton.
That's your wrestling name, Bologna Bouton.
The Bologna.
We kid. Yeah. You lost a lot of weight.
Yeah,
you look
man.
Great.
Yeah.
A lot of butter in them rolls.
It's like it's pants on.
One more question. The pizza saver, you know that plastic piece that goes in the center of the pizza to prevent the top from crushing the pizza?
Yes.
AJ?
Did you know it's also used to, you use it to get the next slice on a pizza. You use it like a placeholder. So that's where you're not touching two slices. You only touch one slice and the pizza holder.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Mayor.
He didn't know that.
Just as
don't
confused.
Find that funny, but listen, have a great day.
Our CEO, Jeff Warshaw, is on. He was listening to the hot dog segment.
Oh.
And we're featuring Connecticut hot dogs.
Yes.
But Jeff had one in New Jersey that was mind-blowing.
Yeah. Yeah, so my uncle, who came over from Belarus, during the Holocaust, him and my mom were raised in Newark. And when I was a little kid, my uncle told me about this legendary hot dog, or what he thought was more like a sausage, but it was really a hot dog. And it came on a special, like a roll with sautéed onions and potatoes.
Whoa.
And he described it over a period of years. And we owned radio stations in Princeton. And one day when I was going to drive to Princeton, I decided I was going to figure out what this hot dog was. And I did my research and I found that there's actually a whole cult of New Jersey hot dogs that are in the same vein as this. And I found like kind of the most authentic place. It was a little tiny stand, really, with a sliding window, and you pulled up, and I made an order. I ordered a couple of different things, but the main thing was like this hot, kind of like this, almost like ciabatta roll with sautéed potatoes and onions and this griddled hot dog. And
God.
I sat on the street in my car, and I ate all of it. And I'll never forget it. It was. I still think about it. I'm
That's
sure
when
I'm
you know it was bring... great.
Yeah, this many years later, you think of it. Yes,
right.
Yeah,
it still pops into your head.
I still
right.
think about it.
You hear music
I'm going to bring
playing.
My kids. They love hot dogs. I'm going to bring my little ones. I've told my older kids, my daughter and I have talked about it many times. And it not only was incredibly delicious and authentic, but it kind of brought me back to. You know, the roots of my family growing up on the, you know, the streets of Newark.
Awesome.
And what a different thing to put on there. The onions normal, but the potatoes.
It's got a nice flavor, yeah.
Wouldn't even think of putting it on there.
It's meat and potatoes in your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm hungry for
I
that
think,
right now.
Road trip.
I can still feel the juices dripping down my face. It was so good.
What time are you picking us up, Jeff?
Let's go.
Road trip to Jersey.
Take the big car.
I would go back in a minute right now. I don't know how, you know, if it's still open, but I'll tell you, I'm sure it's open. I don't know how it's with COVID, but I'm sure they did quite, you know, there was a line. It wasn't a ridiculously long line. And you got up there, and you know, when you get up there and you get nervous, like, oh, my God.
Like butterflies.
The right thing. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I just ordered everything that could be close. But when I got that one, I knew that was the one my uncle had talked about.
Awesome. Wow.
Well, sounds like a road trip. And then we also have to schedule our next Taste of Haven.
Right.
Yes, for sure. I can't wait. We found some really good ones. Let's make the next one another great one.
Sounds great. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, talk to you soon. Again. Jeff Borsch, our CEO. We're called Connoisseur Media because he loves food.
Exactly. He's a connoisseur.
He's a connoisseur.
That's the name.
Yesterday, the DPH investigation resulted in immediate jeopardy finding, an immediate jeopardy finding after COVID outbreak at local nursing home.
Oh, jeopardy the game, or?
Yeah, so yesterday, the Department of Health announced the issuance of a statement of deficiency for the Three Rivers Nursing Home. Quote, I've been wearing a mask for 24 hours because I'm so scared that I'm going to die in this place, said a 57-year-old patient yesterday. Just a week before he was scheduled to leave the facility, he tested positive for COVID-19. He said he got the virus from a nurse.
Oh.
Quote, she used to come in my room sometimes with no mask and gloves because she was in a hurry to get home.
Well, take the time.
What's the liability here? Let's bring in the expert, attorney Brooke Goff, founding attorney of Goff Law Firm. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Morning.
Yo.
What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, firstly, this doesn't surprise me. I've been hearing these stories since March, right? The problem right now is that in our state, there's a lot of protections on healthcare workers for, and I'm not saying they're not warranted, right? But for COVID-19 exposure. So basically, if you're a patient and you get COVID-19 from your nurse, you're going to have, under the current law, you're going to have a very hard time bringing that case. Very hard time. The nurse should be the one worried about getting herself out of work and filing a workers' comp claim. That's really what we should be talking about here. We shouldn't even talking about patients. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of nurses, I'll tell you, a lot of nurses go from facility to facility, right? So, I mean, unfortunately, our nurses in this state do not make what they should make. So they have to take two jobs or sometimes three. They're going from nursing home to another nurse, so, you know, 8 to whatever, 4, and then 5 to 12 at another nursing home. So they're taking the, we'll say, germs, right, the COVID germs, from one nursing home to another.
Like their germs get in the back seat and ride with them.
Like Uber nurse.
They do. Right. They do. They get right in the back seat with them, go right in their bag, they go everything, and, you know, they bring them in. I mean, clearly, these are nurses. These people are not going into these facilities knowing they have COVID, right? COVID is weird, unlike a flu, where you get sick, you know you're sick, right?
Well,
and you start going downhill fast. We've all been there. COVID can linger for days. So you could be contagious and not even know it. And that's the most dangerous part of COVID, because even when, by the time somebody makes a good decision, it's usually already too late. You've exposed.
Attorney Goff's on the show. What about teachers?
This is a tough one, right? So, I think what's most important with teachers is there's no real legal protections in place to protect them. And this is why you're seeing these, and I don't blame them. I'd be doing the same thing. They're like basically rioting or striking outside some of the schools. Teachers did the same thing, right? Well, teachers aren't healthcare workers, right? So if a teacher brings in COVID, it's going to be interesting. The law has not been updated yet because, you know, we haven't had school since March, right? So right now, all the current health protections are for healthcare workers. Basically, if you got COVID from a healthcare worker, you're going to have a hard time suing. Teachers, guys, they're not on that list yet. So the teacher comes in and she's got COVID or he's got COVID and a kid gets it and they find out. I mean,
how do you prove that?
Did you bring it up for the rest of the class? Yes.
How can you prove where you got it?
Okay, so this is why a presumption is so important. Guys, it's the same question can be asked about the nurse with the nursing home, right? How does the nurse prove where she got it if she's working at three different nursing homes, right? Same thing. The teacher's around, 15 kids? How does she, and she's in the cafeteria, and he's in, you know, the point is it's hard. Presumption is key, and as a teacher, you have to protect yourself. My recommendation, and I've been telling all my clients this, I represent a lot of teachers. You need to get a COVID test before you walk in that door.
Then a hazmat suit.
What's that?
Then a hazmat suit too.
Of course. But you need a test before you walk in the door. You need a negative test. You know, you don't need it, but I'm telling you to protect yourself. That's what you do. Every week you get a rapid test and you prove you're negative. negative, negative. So in November, if something happens and you get COVID, you can say, hey, look, I've had negative tests from the beginning. Boom, boom, boom. Right. November, so I know I got it in November.
Are they expensive?
Now it helps you narrow down.
Expensive? And the teacher would have to put that out of their own pocket, right?
Well, insurance is covering them. So again, they are.
Every day.
So insurance is covering them. So here's the thing. How many, right? So this is the thing with COVID. Everything's so uncertain. But insurance is covering them. I do know that. Clearly, the problem right now in the legislation with this is that they're not sitting down with the teachers to ask them what they want and what they think and what they need. They're sitting down with the head of the Department of Education, who quite honestly probably hasn't been in a classroom in 10 years. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you're relying on the administration to make all the rules instead of the people on the ground fighting, the teachers, I mean, this is the kind of thing you get. It seems, well, what about us, you know? But the issue for teachers, I mean, one, they're not protected legally. If a student gets it, let's say teacher so-and-so, because you know it's going to be a big story. You guys will probably report on it.
Probably.
Oh, teacher so-and-so came and she's positive or he's positive. The protections right now, guys, I mean, you can if it's a student, parents can bring a lawsuit.
Tourney Goff is on the show, and we're linked up to all of her stuff at WPLR.com and 95.9thefox.com. She has four locations, Hartford, New Haven, Shelton, Stafford.
Wow.
So she covers the whole range.
There's
of the Chaz and AJ signal here. One more thing before we go. Did you see the video of Kite Kid?
So I saw it last night.
Okay. So this kid's at a 3-year-old's at a kite festival.
In Taiwan, yeah.
In Taiwan. Yep. And one of these ribbon kites wraps around the kid, hoists her into the... Is a girl, right?
It's a girl, yeah.
Hoists her into the air.
It's a little girl.
And she's flying like Peter Pan for like a half a minute.
Upside down, sideways, everywhere. It's like, what? Right, yeah.
So finally...
That's the name. What?
Somehow, miraculously, lands on the ground fine.
Yeah, she comes down low enough for someone to grab her from the crowd.
Right.
Yep, the catcher.
And she was 3 years old. Guys. Right. 3 years old.
And very light, apparently.
All right, so let's just say you're a parent, that's your kid, and the kid's fine, but is there still some liability there? Is there, mental duress or whatever?
So in the U.S., right, I can't talk about Taiwan because it's a little different, but in the U.S., yes, right? So it depends. I'm glad she's fine, one. Most parents in the U.S. probably wouldn't bring that claim because they're just so happy their kid's alive. But then you get the next step, which is I'm angry about it. So it would be a state or municipality claim here. And yes, you could bring it. And honestly, I think I need therapy after I saw the video. So I'm sure.
Is it bad that I laughed? I thought it was the wildest thing ever.
I laughed also. I had a happy ending.
No, it was because I knew the kid was 7 years old. I knew the kid was okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I have a 7-year-old that would have taken that ride on that kite and like I can't even show him because I don't want to give him any ideas.
He's still trying, right? He's in the backyard.
Right. Anxiety through the roof, right? When you're a parent, you see that you're like, how does this even happen? But yes, in Connecticut or in the U.S., I should say, sure, of course, there'd be a lawsuit from that. I don't know what the rules are. I think it was Taiwan. I don't know what the rules are over there, but for sure, there would be a call into somebody's office. With a consultation on that, yeah.
Okay, one more thing, then I'll let you go, because you have a 7-year-old. Trampoline. Would you have one in your yard or not?
So, if the question is, do I have one? Nope. If the question,
would
if
you?
The question is, would I buy one? Nope. If the question is, if somebody gave me one for free and offered to install it the safest way possible, would I have one? Nope. I've represented. Young, I have a case now, and the girl was 14. She needs a knee replacement, guys, at 14 years old. So
she really loved that trampoline.
A knee replacement.
It was a low ceiling.
No, it was at a trampoline park.
It was a low ceiling.
You guys have to remember.
Oh, I've been to
trampoline
one of those.
Park.
Those
oh, yeah.
are so much
I want to go.
I know, trampoline park, right? So you have to tighten the spring. I have a whole education on these, but you have to tighten the springs ever so often. They weren't. So if part of the trampoline will give in one spot, but not in the other.
Oh.
So, you know, like we've all jumped on a trampoline. So you're jumping the equal way. And what happened for her is one leg went down the normal way and it was stiffer in another spot. And then you just went out.
Exactly. Oh, right.
Ouch.
It's crazy.
It's
no,
all part
never
of the fun of trampoline.
You know what made me think of that? This storm that we had on Thursday.
Yeah.
a friend of mine said their neighbor's trampoline flew like 5 yards away.
Oh, yeah. Those things fine. They take off, yeah.
And that picture is the best meme because you can just Photoshop kids in the picture they're flying through.
That's awesome.
Kai Kid and trampolines. All right, Attorney Goff, thanks for coming on. We got to have you back. Attorney Goff, we're linked up to all of her stuff at WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. Thank you. A highly aggressive 2,000-pound beefalo is on the loose.
Why call it a beefalo?
What is a beefalo?
Captain Edward Benecki, Plymouth Police Department, on. Good morning. Thank you for what you do.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, how are you?
So the beefalo got you.
What is a beefalo?
Close. It was a close call yesterday. Close call.
Really?
What happened?
Not really. Well, I'll give you the rundown. It all started a few weeks ago. This animal was, he escaped delivery at an animal processing facility here in town. And about a week and a half later, he was spotted in a wooded area off Route 72 and Judd Road. A day or so later after.
How did he escape? Yeah.
Well, how does a 1,000-pound animal escape? I think they just kind of make their own way and push their way out of any situation.
I had heard a rumor.
That's exactly what happened.
I heard a rumor that what happened was the guy had the trailer up against a place and did not have the animal secured, and the animal actually used its hook, its horn, to unhook the latch and make its way out of the trailer.
Well, that would be a very daring escape if that happened like that. I don't have that information. All I know is the animal, using his weight, really pushed his way out of the situation.
Okay, so AJ, reads memes and believes them.
Right.
So that's his source of news.
He was also wearing a mask and dressed like a ninja. So he said tiptoe.
That is very possible. We are getting close to Halloween.
Thank you.
A
appreciate
black van with a red stripe pulled up.
Right.
Music was playing. Bam, the door
bam,
open.
Bam, bam, bam. Yep.
All right. So this beefalo gets away, and then what?
Yeah. Well, a few days after about a week and a half after his daring escape, we had a midnight shift sergeant spot him in the area of Route 72 and Judd Road, just kind of doing what beefaloes do, hanging out and eating grass in a field.
Nice.
Only when the sergeant approached, the beefalo saw him, put his head down, and began to scratch the ground as if he was going to charge.
Was he dressed in red, though?
In law enforcement, we like to say the sergeant made the correct decision and tactically relocated. And when he was able to try and gain a visual on the animal, he had retreated back into the woods.
Yeah, after unloading first.
Yeah. Yeah. No shots fired. No shots fired.
Was the sergeant dressed like a bullfighter?
No, we don't have that uniform here in Plymouth. However, I am on the uniform committee, so that might be something down the line we can look into.
All right, so nobody wear red in that town for a while.
He's been in town here for probably now going on two and a half weeks, yeah.
2.5 weeks.
Yeah, there's actual support out there on Facebook. Folks are like, don't slaughter him when you catch him. They actually want him to go free.
But what is a beefalo?
It's a bull.
A buffalo and a bull, and now this is a beefalo. What is that?
Correct. Well, I can't believe I'd have to tell you how that happens. it is a cross between a bison and a domestic cattle. And there was a talk that it weighed about 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, someone told there.
It weighs more like 900, closer to 1,000 pounds from what we're getting from the owner.
Oh, COVID weight, it is,
Right, like COVID weight, exactly.
Right,
exactly, all that
Uber Eats.
And I guess, when a 1,000-pound animal is potentially charging at you, I don't think you ask how much it weighs.
No. Exactly right. That'll set it off, actually. Right? You call me fat?
We have Captain Benecki with the Plymouth Police Department. And we're talking about this now. 1,000-pound beefalo loose there. So you guys, girls, all get together in a room and say, all right, we got this missing beefalo. This is our plan. What's the plan?
Well, the plan, normally you don't go out to the extent we have looking for an animal in the woods like this. However, being Route 72 is a very highly traveled area. Our major concern is if this animal were to step in the roadway and someone were to hit it, they could get seriously or fatally injured from it.
Right.
So it's obviously a very, very important public safety aspect of this that we're looking into. So we came up with a plan with the Connecticut State Police and Department of Energy and Environmental Protection, have their conservation officers come out, and members of my own police department. And we were able to use the Connecticut State Police drone to locate this animal yesterday. And within about 5 minutes of actually having the drone up, they were able to see it on infrared.
Oh.
However, the problem that it's in, it's a marshy, thick wooded area.
Oh.
So trying to get boots on the ground into that area, that's our problem.
Like Rambo.
So by the time we were able to get out there, he had probably heard us coming and decided to take the high ground and disappeared. So unfortunately, with the heat and the sun heating up the ground, it threw the IR off, and we weren't able to locate it after.
Last I heard, a hydro army truck was heading down Route 104.
Hmm.
What movie is that from?
Rambo.
So the Beefalo has a headband
right,
on?
And a gun belt. Right.
Well, someone better call Colonel Trotman. Maybe he can talk him out.
Nothing's over. You'll just turn it off.
All right. What's the plan? Have you discussed this? Now, you know, you come upon this thing in the middle of a field. What do you do?
Well, call us. Call 911 if you see it. We actually have...
All right. So what do you do? Let's just say.
What do I do? I brave it, and I go out there and try and corral a 1,000-pound beefalo.
Really? You go, hey, baby.
all of the Plymouth police equipped with ropes and lassos.
And cowboy hats and spurs. Right.
No, out here in Plymouth, we're not issued that equipment, unfortunately.
Damn. Durham, yes.
However, our plan right now is we do have a trailer in place set up to bait the animal. And believe it or not, last night there was a spotting that he was actually near the trailer.
Okay, hold on. This thing escaped from a trailer.
Right.
Has gotten away from you guys for like 2 weeks. Heard you coming through the swamp. Got away.
Right.
And, unconfirmed, took an army truck.
Right.
Right.
And fired a bazooka.
Right. And you think that you're going to get this thing to voluntarily walk into a trailer.
Right.
Well, weirder things have happened in town, apparently, in the last few weeks. So.
Well, you caught three town drunks.
Get out of here, Dan's not for you.
That is fun.
Well,
that's our plan. So hopefully we'll be able to get him in the trailer, get the trailer closed. And I've been talking with the owner, and I think the Beefalo has deserved his freedom.
Yes!
Yeah, he has.
And I've talked with the owner, and he's going to bring him back to the farm where he's going to keep him. He says he's not going to bring him back to the animal processing plant, and he's going to make it. So that's great news on all ends. So now it's just capturing him safely. That's our goal.
Wait a minute.
There's going to be, the Beefaloes are going to make a movie about this.
They are, yes. Right. They're going to make a statue of him out of Beefalo poop.
Right.
Well, I will say in town there is quite the talk to change the high school mascot, which is a fighting kangaroo. So
Beefaloes.
We're talking buffaloes and beefaloes and bisons. Maybe they can do some type of kangaroo cross bison.
No, that's a much more intimidating animal. Here come the beefaloes.
Well, he's the king of the beefalo, so he's the chiefalo.
Exactly right.
I like that, the chiefalo.
The chiefalo.
Right.
How did you guys come up with a fighting kangaroo?
Long before I got here.
Yeah, really. See, I'm not taking this one.
Different. I like it, though. It's different. I do like it. A fighting kangaroo, you don't see that too much.
Well, they box. Kangaroos box.
Maybe one day a fighting kangaroo got loose.
Right.
In Plymouth.
Exactly, right.
Back in 1700s.
Danny Drones back then, they had carrier pigeons looking around. They didn't see them in a swampy area.
So what you're telling me is, sticking with the Sylvester Stallone references, we have Rocky versus Rambo.
Exactly, okay. Right.
Love it.
Precisely. Thank you.
Wow, this is something else. This is making news everywhere.
All there in Plymouth. Wow.
Yeah, in all my years of law enforcement, I'd never thought I'd be chasing a beefalo. So.
Right.
And it's eluding you. It's winning.
Yep.
It's winning, yeah. But I'm okay with him winning. That's right now, like I said, he's safe. He's good right now, and that's how we want to keep him when we catch him.
Gotcha.
Safe and happy. So.
Well, that's great. Captain Edward Benecki, Plymouth Police Department, thank you for what you do and for what all of your officers do there in Plymouth.
Well, thank you very much. I'd just like to give a special thanks out to the Connecticut State Police, the conservation officers and my officers, everyone who participated yesterday. Great team effort to try and locate us. And I'm just very grateful we have all those agencies that were there to assist us.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Oh, that's great.
I wonder if when he writes up all the information for all those departments, he calls it the debriefalo.
I've never even heard of a beefalo until yesterday.
It sounds like it would be a can on the Chef Boyardee.
Yes, it would. Beefalo, right. Yes.
Beefalo.
Right, it's a beefaroni beefalo, yes.
Right.
It's the less salt beefalo.
Right. And you see a little like silhouette of a beefalo tiptoeing.
Ninja style.
Beep, 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 beep.
All right, we're stoned.
Oh, Jesus. Wow, that's...
I hope this was going to happen, though. Remember the parents, like, got rid of a dog? I went to a farm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Just saying.
Well, I like that the owner's not going to eat it now.
No. Now it's a famous beefalo.
It's like you've earned your right to live.
Exactly. It has a room in the house and everything. Its own bathroom, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Life of the beefalo.
I like how, where did you hear this story that the thing used its horn to unlatch the lock and sneak away?
I know people.
Okay. We have to have a segment, AJ News, just like the top stories in
what
AJ's
I've heard.
Life.
What I've heard. It'd be called What I've Heard. Okay, AJ, what'd you hear? That's what I heard.
Who said this? I don't know. People.
Right. Exactly. I don't talk to spirits. I don't talk to aliens. It's a people.
Memes and Facebook.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.